Hey, Saints, and especially grace and peace to you, to all of our confirmation students and the ones who are in our catechism classes. I wanted to send a little recording to you, especially about the class that we were going to have on Saturday, so that everyone's on the same page. We're going to rejoice on Saturday of the gift of the Ten Commandments. This is one of the chief parts of the Christian faith. If you remember, the six chief parts of the Christian faith are the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, the gift of holy baptism, the gift of confession and absolution, and the gift of the Lord's Supper. Ten Commandments being the very first of the chief articles of the Christian faith. We'll be considering these. And before we do anything else, let us pray. Heavenly Father, you give us your word, and in that word you tell us to do things, and you also give us promises. As you tell us to do things, help us to do them. Help us also to see that we don't do them as we should, to repent and to rejoice in all of your promises as well. The things in which you have done for us, the things in which you are doing for us, and the things in which you will do for us. We pray everything through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. One of the very first things that you need to be doing, which you have, many of you have already started, many of you have them, is you should have the Ten Commandments memorized by now. So first things first, the Ten Commandments. The first commandment, you shall have no other gods. The second commandment, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The third commandment, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. The fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother. The fifth commandment, you shall not murder. The sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery. The seventh commandment, you shall not steal. The eighth commandment, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. The ninth commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. The tenth commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Thus ends the Ten Commandments that I would like to have, like you to have memorized. There we are. We are going to be considering the Bible story from Exodus chapter 20. You can find this Bible story in Exodus chapter 20, and also a very, very similar one in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Here is where the Ten Commandments are listed out. We don't make up the Ten Commandments from our own heart or imagination. We take them from our Lord's Word, and we rejoice that God has revealed it to us. So I'm going to read to you Exodus chapter 20. Beginning with verse 1. God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves an idol, nor any image of anything that is in the heavens above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow yourself down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, and showing loving kindness to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You shall labor 6 days and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work in it, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, nor your livestock, nor any stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blesses the Sabbath day and makes it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land in which the Lord your God gives you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, manservant, maidservant, ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. All the people perceived the thunderings and the lightnings, the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. When the people saw it, they trembled and stayed at a distance. They said to Moses, "Speak with us yourself, and we will listen, but don't let God speak with us, lest we die." Moses said to the people, "Don't be afraid, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, that you won't sin." The people stayed at a distance, and Moses came near in the thick darkness where God was. The Lord said to Moses, "This is what you shall tell the children of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I have talked with you from heaven. You shall most certainly not make gods of silver or gold for you yourselves to be alongside me. You shall make an altar of earth for me and shall sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your cattle. In every place where I record my name, I will come to you and I will bless you. If you will make me an altar of stone, you shall not build it of cut stones, for if you lift up your tool on it, you have polluted it. You shall not go up by the steps to my altar, that your nakedness may not be exposed to it." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Couple teaching points here. Number one, if you were to count how many commandments you think there are in this little section, you would certainly not get 10. You would probably get much more. You shall, or you shall not. You'd get lots more than 10. So, why do we call them the 10 commandments? Because that's what Jesus says. That's what God says. God calls them the 10 words, the 10 commandments. So we have from Exodus chapter 28, he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the 10 commandments. You get that exact title. You have that in Deuteronomy chapter 13 as well. He declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform. That is the 10 commandments. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone. In Deuteronomy chapter 10:4, and Moses wrote on the tablets in the same writing as before, the 10 commandments that the Lord had spoken to him on the mountain in the midst of the fire on the day of the assembly that the Lord God had given to him. So they're called the 10 commandments, even if we can't exactly figure out how we should count it, because that's what God calls them. He calls them the 10 commandments. I don't know if you ever have any conversations about the 10 commandments with your friends, Baptists, Methodists, Church of God Prophecy, Catholics, etc. But you'll see within Christendom, within all of Christianity, that that Christians count them differently, and that's okay. That's just fine. So if somebody was to get you a gift on the 10 commandments, they might not actually be counting the same way that the Lutherans do, and that's fine, as long as we have the words, and especially as long as we have the proper number of the 10, then we're good. So that's the first point. The second point is that these seem like they're all commandments. They seem like they're all things in which we are to do, and indeed they are. But before we are told what to do, God tells us what he has done. And God tells us who he is for us. So verse 1 in Exodus chapter 20 says that God had rescued the people out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. So that's what God had done for the people of Israel. And of course, we as Christians know that Jesus has rescued us out of the bondage to sin, death, and the devil. Jesus was crucified for us so that we might have forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. He's brought us out of the slavery. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed, Jesus will say. And his blood has set us free. His death has set us free. We are free indeed. We're his people too. So God rescued us. God sacrificed himself for us, and we get to call him also our God. We are his people, and he is our God. I am the Lord, you're gone. And that means he's going to do everything that he promises for us. He's going to care for us and our bodies and our souls. He's going to protect us and our bodies and souls. He loves us. He is our God, and we are his people. And he rescued us, and he will be with us always, even to the end of the age. So that's the starting point for the Christian. Not in what we are to do, but in what he does for us and what God does for us and continues to do. And then, in knowing that he is our God and that he loves us, he says, you love me back. And here's the way you love me back. And here's the way that you're going to be protected in your heart. And here's the way other people around you are going to be protected. And this is just the best way to live. So the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me, is our Lord protecting our heart, that we don't trust, that we don't fear, that we don't love anything above him. He protects our heart so that our faith is only in him. The second commandment, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. That gives us the gift of his name. He is Jesus. He is Father. He is Son. He is Holy Spirit. He gives us all these wonderful names, and he tells us to use it in the right way. We can use it in the right way by telling other people about him. We can use it in the right way, especially by praying to him. O Lord, O God, O Jesus, help us, help us, help us. We can misuse it by taking it in vain. Something bad happens and we say, oh, you know, and then we say the Lord's name. Or it's just an expression of unbelief, ah, you know, it's a very common thing now to misuse the name of the Lord your God. And our Lord tells us that's a very dangerous thing to misuse his name. So let's use it, but let's use it in the proper way. Prayer, praise, thanksgiving, all those good things too. The third commandment, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. This is a call for us to be made holy by God. We know from the New Testament that all things are made holy by the Word of God and prayer. This is the Old Testament people time to not work and to have a specific day in which is set aside to worship God and to receive his gifts. For the Christian, that's the day Jesus rose from the dead, on Sunday. The Sabbath day was a Saturday. We don't have to do that. We can worship any day. We have that freedom to do that now. But we especially do it on Sundays because Jesus died on a Friday, 3 days later, rose again on a Sunday. Jesus is alive, and Jesus is alive to bless us in church. So let's go to church on Sundays and hear his word and be made holy by it. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long, in which the land the Lord your God will give to you. This protects the gift of authority. Your fathers and your mothers are in authority, and they're in authority there to bless you. Now they will mess up, and they will sin against you. This is a reminder to the fathers and the mothers of their duty to be good fathers and good mothers, to raise their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, to sacrifice for them, to provide for them, to pray for them, bring them to God's house, and help them have a good life of morals and education as well. But for you as children, this is for your call to honor them and obey them in all things, with the exception of the times in which they are telling you to do something that your God tells you not to do. Remember, first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. The fourth commandment is honor your father and mother. So if your father and mother tell you to do something that God tells you you shouldn't be doing, then you listen to God and not man. Other gifts of authority are teachers, everybody that you are with this week, though they are not your father or your mother, they are your authorities. Your fathers and your mothers have entrusted them so that you might be with them, and they might protect you and feed you and provide for you and also instruct you and maybe even discipline you when needed. Honor them. You honor all in authority. You honor the government. You honor police. You honor your pastor, and there's other things of authority as well. The fifth commandment, you shall not murder. This is protecting your neighbor's body from being hurt. The sixth commandment, You shall not murder. This is the protection of the gift of sex. Sex is a wonderful gift within the bonds of holy marriage between one man and one woman. And that is reserved for that gift, to be reserved for there too. You shall not steal is the seventh commandment. This is a protecting of your neighbor's property. Anything that belongs to your neighbor, you shall not take away. You shall work hard and care for the things that God has given to you. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. This is protecting your neighbor's name. You know, the people that are there around you, they have a name and they have a reputation. And you make fun of them and you gossip about them behind their back, or you tell other people bad things about them, then you're hurting their reputation. You're hurting their name. And that's not your name to do that to. God gave them that name. So the Lord wants to protect that name. The final two commandments, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, and you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, manservant, maidservant, ox, or donkey, anything that belongs to your neighbor, is back in the same way to protecting your heart. To covet is to want something that you don't have. Now, your neighbor, for the most part, won't be hurt by you wanting something that they have, but you're the one that is hurt. And coveting then sometimes leads to being mean to them with your words, and that's a breaking of the eighth commandment, perhaps the fifth commandment as well. Sometimes coveting ends up with you actually taking things, which is the commandment of you shall not steal. Wanting things that don't belong to you, especially if a boy wants a girl or a girl wants a boy and they're not in marriage, then that is breaking the sixth commandment too. But the coveting is really about a protection of your heart, that you don't want things that God has not yet given to you, or maybe he won't give to you too. Final points here, after reviewing the Ten Commandments, is that the end of the text here, Moses says to the people, don't be afraid. So the people are very afraid. There's thundering. They're at this mountain. They're at the bottom of the mountain. Moses has gone up the mountain, and surrounding this mountain is thunder and lightning, and the mountain is smoking, and there's the sound like the sound of a trumpet. It is an absolutely terrifying thing for God to speak in this way, and they think that they're going to die because of that God is speaking. Moses says to the people, verse 20, you know, don't be afraid. God has come to test you, that his fear may be before you, so that you won't sin. There is a certain fear of God that is good for us. We do fear him. We fear his wrath. We want to do what he tells us to do because we fear what might happen if we don't do what he tells us to do, or if we do the wrong things that he's told us not to do. We fear him. But Moses has this beautiful says, don't be afraid. God has come, and he loves you. He is your God, remember? You belong to him. You're his people. He's brought you out of sin and death and slavery and the bondage, and you belong to him, and you're forgiven. And how much more is he going to protect you? So not only are we to fear him, but especially we are to love him, and we are to trust in him above all things. The final point I'll make in verse 24 is that the Lord gives some commandments about some sacrifices that are supposed to happen. Different types of sacrifice, burnt offerings, peace offerings. There's going to be even more sacrifices that are mentioned later. So in the same way in which he is telling his people that he has rescued, what to do is a time in which he calls for them to sacrifice. A sacrifice is to answer for all the times in which they haven't done what they should be doing. For the Christian, we say that's Jesus' sacrifice. We don't live as we should, Jesus forgives us. We don't think as we should, Jesus died for us. We don't do as we should, Jesus' blood covers us. We're his people, he has rescued us. And every place where I record my name, I will come to you and I will bless you, is how verse 24 ends. And that's church. He's put his name there, and he wants to bless you in church. That's his word. He's put his name on the Bible, and as you hear and read and meditate on the Bible, he blesses you. That's my duty as a pastor, where God has put his name upon me so that I will bless you. And you notice that we have the end of our divine service, the end of our church services on Sunday, is when God is putting his name upon you, and he blesses you. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. So thank you for your ear and for your heart. Have those Ten Commandments memorized. Consider how they are wonderful for you and wonderful for the people around you. And above all, rejoice that God is your God, that you are his people, that he has rescued you, and he will continue to do so. Amen.